Praise the Lord. I know that within Scripture, there's we see how God ordains leadership to give spiritual guidance and leadership to a congregation as well as to congregations. That we see ministry that was given to the body overall. We see apostolic ministry. We see prophetic ministry that are and evangelistic kinds of ministries that are more than just the local church. We need their involvement in the local church, but they go beyond the local church as well. And then there's the ministry of pastors, elders, teachers, so forth within the local congregation. And we need all of that because the Scripture speaks about the fivefold ministry of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher given for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So we need more than just a pastor to give leadership to a congregation. And that is how God has, I believe, ordained leadership. And the way that dynamic works here is not only do we have the local people that are involved, as I just introduced them and explained how they're involved in giving leadership to the congregation here, and giving, I see them as being, you know, they're not just an extension of my pastoral ministry to this congregation, they are also an advisory back to me from their areas of ministry leadership. I feel that when God calls someone to leadership, he gives them the gift and the grace. I call it for their area of jurisdiction. That's a word I use around here frequently. But it's like they have an area where they're gifted or graced, have insight, have direction from the Lord. And then they can come and share that with me because, you know, I know that as God gives them grace to do that, they're going to come up with, like I said, ideas or plans or, you know, this is something that we're going to need or, you know, pastor, be attentive to this that's happening within this area of ministry. And that's something that's a real resource to me. So we have that on the local level. But then we also have what I, you know, would call the exterior or outside input and influence that comes from these folks that you see on the front row here. With, for lack of a better term, we call them our Praise Fellowship Church board. We do have a corporation, and they're board members of that corporation, nonprofit corporation, for all the legal details. But scripturally, they would be like those external gifted people in their variety of ministry gifts that come with that grace, that anointing, that gifting from God to help me, to help me and Melanie, to help our church to be an extension of the Lord's spiritual leadership and direction for us from outside of the congregation. And I just see that as a real benefit and a real value as we group together, and we don't group together a lot, but they're always accessible if we, you know, have a need or have a question or need some counsel. And we've presented a number of things to them over the years, just, you know, looking for direction, and they have been a real resource of help for us. And so we're so appreciative and glad to have that as a part of the leadership. And I believe it adds balance. It also is a place for, you know, like if you're having an issue with a pastor, you know, my intent is that you would come to the pastor and say, hey, I'm having this issue with you. Can we work it out? You know, and sometimes it's just simply a misunderstanding or whatever, miscommunication, and we can work it out. We can resolve it. But there might be the time when you feel like, you know what, my needs aren't being served here and he's not listening or whatever. And there are other people to go to where you can voice that, and they're not just for me. They're not going to take my side because we have this close relationship, although we do, but they're on God's side. And so if there's things that I'm having, being short-sighted about, they're for you as much as they are for me. And so they are a place of access for you to have some other, you know, resource or a place to go if there's some issues that you feel aren't being resolved. We haven't had a lot of that in this congregation. We seem one way or another to get along pretty good, and that's a good thing. Pardon me? We're kind of in the backwoods, yeah, and that makes a difference. Reminds me of a joke, but I'm not going to tell it. No, I can't tell that. Anyway, you got me distracted, honey. But, you know, I want to start out by introducing them, and I've asked them to share from their heart, either, you know, the word of the Lord or just an exhortation or, you know, rah, rah, Praise Fellowship Church, keep going, you know, because we need that. But so Dan and Linda, however they're going to do it, and Andy, I know Lori's opted out, which is fine, but I'm going to give them some time to do that. And if there's time towards the end of the service, then I have some things that I'd like to share about the direction for this coming year and kind of where we're headed in teaching and so forth. But we just want to let the Lord have his freedom here this morning. But by way of introduction then with Dan and Linda, they became very familiar to us through AFCM, the Association of Churches that we're connected with, the Association of Faith Churches and Ministers. And so, you know, we got connected with them through that pastoral ministry organization. And soon our families were connecting because, you know, they had kids that were kind of similar to our kids' age. And we would go to the conferences and connect, and we just got along really well with them. One of the things that was neat to see develop over the years is Dan took an affinity to our son Rodney. Part of that was they're both Ford guys, okay? And so they had this connection that way. But Dan would always ask about Rodney and how's Rodney doing, and what's Rodney driving now, and you know that kind of thing. And we always appreciated that. It's like he was making a connection with our family as well, and that was precious. we attempted a prearranged marriage of our son with our daughter. Didn't quite work out, but if it was prearranged, it should have worked. They shouldn't have had any say about it. But anyway, I asked them permission for our son. You know, he was in his life when the season of his life where he was looking, and we knew that they had a precious daughter who was a real follower of the Lord, and we thought, you know what, let's get them to meet. And I asked them permission. We met, and Rodney and their daughter Carol, they met, and they, you know, went out together once, and they knew that they weren't right for each other, and that was just fine. There's no problem with that. And their daughter married a fine young man, and our son married a fine young lady. And so, who drives a truck? Your son-in-law drives a truck, doesn't he? Yeah, so, cool. Is it a Ford? You don't know. So, anyway, you know, there's been just a neat connection with them. They came on to be a part of our leadership board in 2005, I believe it was. I wrote it down here. 2005, they joined our leadership team. And the neat thing that goes on with these guys, Andy and Lori too, is it has not been about policy or church politics or church hierarchy. You got to have so many people in place or whatever. But it's been about relationship. And we know that they are for us to the point of if they see a fault or something, you know, that they'll address it, not just let it go because they want to be our friends. But they're for us so much to the point where it's, you know, what does God have going for you guys? What does God want in your life? And so with that, I'm going to ask you, Dan, or Dan and Linda, however you choose to come forward and share what's in your heart. I'll turn this on.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, how much we've enjoyed watching your church grow and become what it is today. And you've got a very good, very healthy church. And you've got pastors that really love you a lot. And I was saying to Roger last night at the board meeting, I said, you are a pastor to the bone. I mean, he is he could pastor pastors and teach them how. And we just really, really enjoy being here and just watching God grow you up and move in your midst. And Dodge Center is probably one of God's best kept secrets, you know, when it comes to the body of Christ. Your worship today was fantastic, and just look what God did in 6 months. I mean, the last time we were here, I think it was in July, there, you know, you had good worship, and I remember asking Roger for the songs because I was really ministered to by the songs, but boy, I mean, to give birth to a drummer and a guitar player and a keyboardist and a vocalist and everything, you were singing by yourself before. I mean, God is working here, and the presence of the Lord is sweet, and I was just very enriched and very impacted this morning with the worship and just how God is moving here. And I just really want to encourage you to just keep up the good work and pray for your pastors. They need a lot of prayer. Not because they're weak or because they got problems, but because they're on the front lines. And because the enemy wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way, one way he targets pastors is through discouragement or just whatever. I mean, each one has their different things, but just really keep them in prayer. Keep them under the blood of Jesus. Remind yourself what Jesus has done for us, has already done. And just really get tight with each other and just know each other after the Spirit. Know each other by the Spirit. And if you've got a need, make it known. And don't think that you've got to live with your act all together, because you don't. These people love you and care for you. They want to help you on your journey. And I'm just blessed to be a part of this. And this isn't just hype. This is from my heart. And it's really something that is, it's really God speaking this to you. You're doing a great job.
Amen.
And this is a good, healthy church. And if I lived in Dodge Center, I'd be here every Sunday. If I lived even a little further out, I'd probably be here too. But this is a good church. Invite your friends. There's people out there that they're looking for real, and this is real. And they're looking for hope, and there's hope here. And you've got a good thing going here. So get the word out there. And you've got a few empty chairs here. You can fill them with needy people, people that are broken and need help and need hope, because you know who that is, Jesus Christ. So just be commended.
You can take it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, praise God. We're glad to be here, and I echo the same things that my wife says. This is a great place. The Spirit of God is doing great things here. You got great pastors. You got a great facility to meet in. I see no negatives. This is a God thing. And so I commend you. I encourage you. Every one of you has had a part in what's been built here. And so congratulations. You got a great church. Be blessed. Enjoy it. Cherish it. This is what I tell our people. Cherish this. Take care of it. Don't take it for granted. These are good days. That's an interesting statement. These are good days. In view of what we see going on in our world, in our own precious United States of America, there's tremendous challenges for believers these days. But they're good days because God is with us, and He has equipped us. When Jesus said, "It is finished," He meant everything is provided for. Jesus did the whole thing. He did it all the way. He did a good job. We are not lacking in anything. We're not lacking in power. We're not lacking in resources. We're not lacking in wisdom. Because if we're tapped into Him, there is no lack. We are complete in Christ. And that word complete means we're crammed full. We're fully equipped. We're abundantly supplied. God's got a great plan for this church. He's got a course for this church, for Raj and Mel. He's got a course for you that He has pre-planned for you to accomplish. And the main message that I believe God wants me to give to you this morning is how to finish your course. And there are a lot of things that I have taught on this. There are a lot of things that could be taught that they're all valid. But I want to zero in on one thing today. Paul, I'm going to read a statement from him that was found in Acts chapter 20. And Paul was returning from his third missionary journey. I'll give you a little bit of context as you turn there. Acts chapter 20. Paul, as you know, went through tremendous challenges, met those challenges, went through the adversity to bring the message of the gospel to the known world at the time. And he was returning to Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord had come forth talking about the difficulties he was going to face. But here's what Paul says, verse 22. "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations or afflictions await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is saying here that I don't know everything that's in the future, and I don't know everything that's around the next bend. I know there's going to be affliction. I know there's going to be difficulties. I know there's going to be adversities. So in a sense, he was saying, I know there's difficulties ahead, but I really don't know what's out there. For us as individuals, for us as a Christian community, there's difficult things lying in the road ahead. I don't know all of what they are. But Paul says, none of these things move me. In other words, if chains and afflictions and tribulations await me, that does not deter me. That's not going to push me off course. That's not going to have me lift my foot off the throttle and say, wait, I'm not sure, I'm afraid, maybe I should not pursue the things of God as aggressively. Paul is saying, none of these things move me because I am not worried about myself. I don't count my life dear to myself. Jesus said that life does not consist of things that we have, food and raiment and all these natural things. Life eternal is to know Him. And to find purpose in life is to fulfill the plan that God has for you. Wouldn't it be a shame if a bird never flew? He's got wings, he's got feathers, he's sitting on a branch, but he feels like he should walk. What a bummer. God's got a plan for us. He's created you to fulfill a specific purpose. And He wants you to spread your wings out and fly. And by that I mean that's a word picture, meaning He's created you uniquely to travel a certain course in your life, to fulfill certain things, to accomplish certain things. We're not here just to eat food and you know, consume oxygen and see if we can make it to the end and get our retirement and get our Social Security. We've got a special purpose here on this earth, and Paul knew that. Paul had been given a ministry. He said, I'm going to be faithful to the ministry that the Lord Jesus gave me. I'm going to finish my course with joy. And the Lord showed me something about this finishing the course with joy thing that really gave me a new perspective. And He showed me that joy is not something that you just experience as you go along the course, but joy is an equipping that you need to go forward in your course. Joy is a force. You need to equip yourself with this joy if you're going to finish your race. So I used to think, be faithful to the Lord, follow the Word, and you'll have joy as you go along. And there may be some truth to that. But really what the Lord is wanting us to know today is that joy is part of your equipping. You need to cultivate it. You need to mine it out of the Scriptures. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. We need to equip ourselves with joy. That is going to be a force that enables us to go forward, to do the things that God wants done, to finish our course. And that phrase, finishing our course, means to fully accomplish the purpose that God has us here for. And so I thought about that a little more. And the Lord just let me know, you know, joy is an equipping. Joy is a strength. Joy is something you need to equip yourself with. And how many of you know where we get joy from? Where do we get it from? Where don't we get it from? Let's start there. Hey, it's a great day. Everything's going my way. How often does that happen? That's not where you get joy from. You get joy from something a lot deeper than that, and you get joy from God, who is your Savior, your Father in heaven, your provider, your healer, your supplier, your strength. You get joy because you remember the last time you were in a jam, how God brought you through it. Joy is a strength that you need to equip yourself with. Joy is something that is available through God, something you must arm yourself with. It's your equipping. Joy is the thing that's going to make you able to go forward and travel your course and finish your race. And so the Lord says you need to equip yourself with joy, and you know where to get it. It's equipping. You know, a soldier does not go into battle without his equipment. I'm kind of jacked up here. I don't. My heart's pounding. Breathe. This is a great group to preach to. My father was in the 1st Marine Division in World War II, got a Purple Heart on Okinawa, and when they would go up to the line where the combat was, they would do something that they called squaring away your gear. When we equip ourselves with joy, we're squaring away our gear. Because squaring away your gear is make sure your stuff's in order, your pack is loaded with what you need. And in my dad's case, he was in a machine gun squad, and his job was to be the number one ammo carrier. So he would have his pack on, and he said, I always packed extra socks. Other guys carried cigarettes. I just stuffed those holes with clean socks. And he would sling his M1 carbine over his shoulder, and then he'd pick up 2 20-pound ammo boxes, one in each hand. And then when they went up to the line, his sergeant threw another one on top of his pack, tied it on, and my dad complained. So imagine 20, 20, and 60 with a gun, with a pack, and the sergeant said, you'll be glad you have it when you get up there. And so what I want you to see from that is we need to have our gear squared away. As we enter in, as we continue, when things get rough, we don't jettison our joy and say, this is just too tough. We do what David did when he came back from one of his raids and the smoke was rising up in his city that he had decided to dwell in, called Ziklag. And the city had been ruined and burned. Everybody had been carried off, people's wives, children. David was pretty distressed. But then he said, I need to encourage myself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. We're not going to make it if we do not equip ourselves with joy. We're not going to finish our course. We might live to be old. We might do a lot of things. We might get enough pension. We might get enough Social Security. But are we going to finish what God put us here on this earth to do? I don't want to just live to be an old guy and then find out I never fulfilled what God wanted me to do. I want to make a difference for Him. That's really the only thing that matters. Life does not consist of food and raiment and stuff. Who cares what kind of car we drove? Who cares what kind of house you lived in? Who cares whether you had Kmart clothes or what's an expensive thing? I don't know. Kmart or Walmart? Nobody's going to care. The men's department at Walmart. But what's going to matter in eternity? The impact you made for Jesus Christ, the person that you ministered to, the person that caused you to pull your hair out, but 30 years later you realized, hey, something did take effect. What is Jesus going to say to us when we stand before him? Is he going to say, well done, good and faithful servant? Really, that's all that matters, because everything I own, my most cherished possessions, it's all going to be a pile of dust. My galaxy is going to be a pile of dust. My Model A will be a pile of dust. My clothes will be a pile of dust, which probably isn't a big loss. My house will be a pile of dust. All the things that I built as an engineer is going to be a pile of dust. But the things done for Christ are going to last. This body will be a pile of dust. Then somehow Jesus is going to make us all, give us a new body. I don't know how he's going to do that. But the main message that I have is we have to be intentional about cultivating that joy. When I was outside shoveling snow, we've had a little snow this year, and your tendency is to get pretty sick of it, and oh no, I got to spend 10 minutes scraping the windows again this morning just to go to work. But I was out shoveling snow one day, and I thought, you know, I'm healthy enough to do this. I'm glad to be doing this. This is fun. I heard a guy testify on the news who had been disabled and was in a wheelchair and partially paralyzed, and he said that I would love to do the things that I used to hate to do. I'd love to be able to clean out the gutters. I'd love to be able to mow the lawn. So we've got so much that we can find joy in. God has sustained us. God has provided us for us. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. This joy is going to give us the ammunition that we need and the force that we need and the strength that we need to finish our course. Joy. Cultivate it. Mine it out of the Word. Go back and remember what your testimonies are. God healed my little girl. God took care of us when we ran out of money. God did this. God did that. God did this. That's what David had to do. The Lord delivered the lion into my hand. The Lord delivered the bear into my hand. And as he faced Goliath, he said, Goliath, God will deliver you into my hand too. We need this, or we might go through life and finish it, but we're not going to finish our course that God has designed for us. And that would be a tragedy, because we are fully able and fully equipped. We've got everything we need. Joy is a force, and it's part of your equipping. It's something you need to have your gear squared away so you can finish your race. Amen.
Say this with me. I'm going to square my gear.
I'm going to square my gear.
Yeah, we're going to do that this year. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Get our gear squared away. That's good. Good word. Thank you, Dan. Next, I want to introduce to you someone who needs no introduction, only because he's been here before. But, what's your name? Andy and his wife, Lori Sperlin. Now, my first encounter with Andy was not a good one. It wasn't his fault, it was mine. But we...
I felt the same.
We need to turn him off for his mic off for now. Yeah, don't turn him on until I tell you to turn him on. The Lord had given us direction to start the church up in Park Rapids, and that was in 2001. And I felt responsible to contact area AFCM churches, you know, that were, I mean, there wasn't one within, I think, how close is DL or Virgus, 45 miles, 50 miles? And so I contacted Virgus and Brainerd, and those were the two closest ones to Park Rapids. But I just wanted to let them know that, you know, our intent is to start a church there, you know, just so you're aware of that and just know what's going on in the area. Well, Andy called me after he had gotten the letter. He wasn't pastoring, but he was doing associate work at the church in Virgus there, and he called me because he was the one who read the letter. And he started sharing with me about how God had given him direction to be a part of establishing something in Park Rapids. And I'm sitting there as he's describing this to me, I'm thinking, here's a man who's looking for a place to preach. You know, here's an opportunist. We're starting a church and he's going to come along and he's going to see himself as being the one to take it over. I mean, that, I don't know why I got that perception. If I just am kind of, you know, black hat, we were talking about colors of hats and that kind of black hatted person, you see the trouble that could come. But anyway, that was my first impression until the very first night he and his wife and his family showed up to our very first service. And they acted like they had been a part of this church forever in serving. I mean, they helped carry the sound equipment. They helped sweep the floors and move the chairs and everything that we had to do before and after the service. They just became servant with a capital S. And I thought, well, this, you know, it was a little bit different picture than what I had initially thought. And then we had the opportunity to meet with them for a meal during that week that we were there, and just found out how very similar they were to us, and just a real kinship right there to begin with. Well, they connected with that church and kept coming and kept participating, kept being a part. And it got to the point, you all remember, many of you remember the experience that we would be up there for two weekends. And then the other weekend, we were sending Daryl and Audrey and their family up, and Charlie and Susie and Isaac, they were going up for the other weekend. So we had the weekends covered for ministry. Well, it wasn't very long, and we were asking Andy to participate in giving leadership to that as well. And it wasn't very long after that the people of that congregation were just connecting, really connecting with Andy. And it wasn't very long after that we really felt like they were the ones to become the pastors of this church. We had committed ourselves to like 2 to 5 years is what we felt like we were going to be traveling up there to give leadership to that church before it would be ready to be handed off or something. And God was very gracious to us through this couple who made 2 to 5 years become like about 9 months before we completely turned the church over to them, a Restoration Christian Church up there in Park Rapids. But so, you know, we started out really great, with a really great connection, a really great relationship. And Andy, you know, I'm not going to go through all the details. I'm going to just shorten it up to the point where we asked Andy to come on and be a part of our leadership team here in 2007. And one of the things that I really appreciate about Andy is he's definitely a man of integrity. I've seen where there, you know, could be questionable things or whatever, and he is always stuck with this is the right thing to do, and just a real man of integrity. Also a real man of detail. I think I'm a person of detail, but I pale in comparison to him when it comes to, you know, these are the, whatever, you know, the laws, the IRS, you know, the home, you know, he just has it. He's got it. He knows what to do. He's a man of detail. And also a man of spontaneous humor that I appreciate. I get emails from him and I go, where in the world does he get this? How does he come up with this creative kind of stuff? And, oh, I just end up roaring in it. I don't even, yeah, some you can't share. Okay, do you want me to share your response when I said no casual dress?
That's all right.
I'm not going to. Anyway. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. Okay, anyway. So as you can see, we have a lot of fun. But Andy, we really appreciate you and your addition to our leadership team here as well. So give you some time.
Hallelujah. Make him sound like I'm sending you smutty emails or something.
Yeah,
I'll let Roger have that. So. Well, I'll start with just one scripture that came to mind that let's see, where is it? It's a scripture out of 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is talking about the gifts that, you know, the you know, Paul speaking to Timothy in verse 14. It says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. And then verse 15 says, give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. And this is on my heart to share just briefly. This is, you know, the word that came to mind, just like Linda and Dan shared, just what a healthy church you really have here. And what a blessing that is. It really is something not to take for granted. I see you guys running and, you know, blasting on all cylinders. And it's just exciting. It's encouraging for me. You know, I'm in a very small church at this point, and we're having a blast up there, what we're doing. But this is an encouragement to see when you just stick to it. You know, Roger, I picture almost like the turtle, and I'm kind of like that neurotic rabbit. And you just keep going and going and going, and to the, you know, just that line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and you can just see the fruit from that. But this was on my heart to share just a little bit. There's a lot of ministries out there that are not out there to do you good. And sadly to say, you know, I came out of that background. My mom and dad were going to be missionaries. And some events happened where they got involved in a church here in Minnesota. And they were a church full of what they called wife swappers. Now, I don't know why they didn't call them husband swappers. But I guess part of the reason was it was the men who were plotting to do wrong with the women in the church. Well, that messed up my young mom and dad, and took care of, it really affected my dad. My dad had some really serious issues, mental issues. So here's my mom, just born again. She met my dad. My dad's the one that led her to the Lord, and they're all excited. You know, she's just excited about the Lord, and she's serving him, and all of a sudden my dad's all messed up and getting girls in the youth group that they're in charge of pregnant. And my mom's taking the youth group down to see that poor girl who's in the hospital now because she was in a car accident, and not knowing that it was my dad that impregnated her. And this was a church that had wife swapping going on. So he goes to get help, Christian counseling, and ends up getting involved with a counselor who's homosexual. And at that point, when my mom finally realized, when the doctors finally told my mom, you got to get your kids out of that house or he'll kill them, she did. And then the church judged my mother for leaving a husband. And they protected the man. So after that, you know, years later, my mom finally gave up on church because she was worthless. That's what she thought. I mean, the church kicked her out. They know better, right? She's just a young little Christian. Well, I get involved in a church in the cities, in Bloomington, and lo and behold, the youth pastor is a pedophile. So thank God I didn't give up, because there is the genuine out there, and my heart just cried for God. I remember as a young kid in church how much I loved the presence of God. There is the genuine out there. You guys have the genuine. And then I got involved with the church after that, where the pastor, I got born again. I didn't know what happened to me. I wanted to tell anything that moved or crawled about Jesus. I had no idea what happened to me. And the pastor's comment was, well, some people get it, some people don't. And, well, you must have got it. But he couldn't really explain it beyond that. So I recognized, then he said, those people that believe the word of God for being what it is, have some, I don't think they're seeing it straight. And that just sent off red flags in my very ignorant little head. And well, then a few years later, I meet my wife. We get married. I was married once and divorced. And I'm going to skip a lot of details here. But then my wife and I get married, and then we're at a church where all of a sudden the pastor gets revealed for having a 12-year adulterous affair with the secretary. So, but there's the genuine out there. And then I wonder, when I see young hurting people come into church, why they can be so skittish about the help they could receive. Because they're burned and they're scarred and they've had traumatic things happen to them. And my mom took years for her to be able to get back into the church. But she did. God did some things supernaturally through me. I didn't know it, but I was so excited about Jesus and sharing some things with her. God started lighting a fire in her, and she got baptized in the Holy Ghost in the shower and all sorts of cool stuff. But it was a few years back, you know, as I started to pastor, and you know, the relationship we have with Roger and Mel is supernatural. Actually, he was on the board, obviously, for the church up in Park Rapids, me being the pastor. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he told me that Roger is going to come off the board. And so I'm thinking, boo-hoo, you know, what did I do wrong? I thought maybe it's something I did, or he didn't want to be a part of our life anymore. But God had something bigger in mind. He wanted me to become onto his board. And I'm thinking, why? I mean, what would I have to offer? But God sees things, knows things, and I so appreciate his leadership. Sometimes he'll lead you to do things you don't understand it. But the cool part is in my heart is to really help people to be the genuine article. And I've recognized now that I've had some very vulnerable people coming in and very bad relationships. And there's one in particular where God really spoke something very powerful to me, where a young gal I'm sitting in the front row, she's after a church service, and this gal was really hurting. And I'm sitting there and I'm helping her talk to God about what's going on in her life. And she's got a young kid, and she's in a bad relationship with a mean husband. And she gets through some things. God speaks some things powerful to her. That was totally new to her. God, this God stuff, but God really ministered some powerful things to her, to speak into her. And as I'm sitting there, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "This is what should have been offered to your mother when she was going through her pain in her bad place." Because then I all of a sudden saw that gal sitting there, my mom, with two little kids, needing that help. But instead that she was judged and cast out, and a man who needed help didn't get the help because they protected him. And what did my dad do? He ended up moving to another state and actually killing a wife and one of his second wife and one of his children because he didn't get the help. Things we do have consequences, just like it says here in that scripture, you know, let your progress be known. I encourage the people in church, make progress. I encourage them to appreciate what you have. Life is precious. And what you have here is so precious, people. The grass can look greener on the other side, but that's just an idol. God has a plan for your life, but he also has a place. Take advantage of that place that you have. Because if you need something else besides Jesus in your life, if you need to be some other place doing some other thing, then you've got a happiness idol. That's all it is. Because it should just be you and Jesus. You're not here by happen chance. You're here because God has you here. Bloom here because you're planted here. We got involved. The first church I ever got involved with that was healthy was Redwood Falls, first as a faith church. And so excited to be a part of something. We really were really rooted there, really excited to be part of that family, and so thankful that there was something, there was pastors out there that were the real thing. You know, I hear Roger and Mel, when they speak of church and they speak of you, I mean, the saying goes, you want to smell like sheep? Well, they definitely smell like sheep. Their heart's for you, and I appreciate the fact that it's a genuine ministry. And you have a place where you don't have to keep your guard up. You have a place that you're not going to be taken advantage of. That if, you know, as far as a pastor's heart, if anyone's going to do this, the hurting, it'll be the pastor before someone in the church. You know, cry with those who cry and help those that are dealing with their issues. So, a lot to be thankful for. The good is you don't have to wear your guard. So God has a plan for you. God has a place. Are you? You're in the right place. When I left Redwood, it wasn't because we were really rooted in Redwood, but we knew God was leading us to go up north to start a church in Park Rapids. But we knew that. We weren't trying to make that happen. Because when you try and make it happen, you'll find yourself, if God's involved in your life and you're not children, illegitimate children, he is involved in your life. He will deal with you as a, he's your father, right? You know what that means? You're not his lab experiment. He is your father. He'll love you. He'll take care of you. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you sweet things about your life, show you things to come. But do ask. He knows what you have need of before you ask. So take time talking to him. If you've got areas in your life where it's not where it should be, find out why. If you've got areas in your life where you're not satisfied, find out why. So appreciate what you have. Amen. Amen. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Andy. What I'm going to share is probably going to be about 15 minutes or so. Don't set your watch, but but just so you know that my intent is to be brief, but to give you, I've entitled this Direction for 2011. We've kind of been going that way over the past few weeks, reminding ourselves of what our mission, what our purpose is, you know, according to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, loving God and people too, and making followers of Jesus. And last week I began sharing with you how really we have to be followers of Jesus if we're going to make followers of Jesus. And what does that look like? What does that mean? But and progressing toward becoming complete in Christ Jesus. And what I see us doing is taking some time to evaluate. And when you use that term, squaring away our gear, that's what we're going to be doing coming up here. We're going to evaluate areas of our life to see if our gear is squared away for us as individuals and for us as a congregation to fulfill our mission and purpose. We don't want to stand before the Father. We want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with the things that I gave you to and entrusted you." We don't want to hear him say, "Well, what did you do with this time and your talents?" You know, we want to hear that, "Well done." And so so we got to square away our gear so that, you know, we are accomplishing and fulfilling what he has intended for us. There are a couple of things that I want to share with you, and then I'm going to require of you a survey, which I've got here ready to hand out. I'm not going to do it yet, but Daryl, I pulled the pencils out of the drawer out there, so make sure you get those, and we're going to give you a chance to do some response work here this morning. But let me share this. I see us going forward with a couple of base texts from Scripture. One of them is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 14 and 15. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. When we're squaring away our gear, part of what we're going to do is that we're going to examine the areas of our own life and say, am I living for self or am I living for Christ? Self, Christ, in this area of my life, in these different areas of my life. And I'm going to give you what the areas are for us to examine personally. But are we living for self or are we living for Christ? And this is what we're going to do when we come into Christ. We're going to get rid of the old life, which is the selfish life, living for me, what's in it for me. And instead, we're going to say, how can I live for Christ? How can I serve him? How is my life going to count for him? So that's one of the scriptures we're going to settle on as we go forward here. And the other is one that I shared in the newsletter, the article in the newsletter, and that's from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. When I was talking about how serious are you about being a follower of Jesus, and related that to, you know, like first of the year we make our resolutions, and one of those resolutions usually is weight loss. And I shared with you the Hebrews passage where it says, get rid of the weight and the sins that so easily beset you. So if we're going to do weight loss, it's going to be that kind of weight loss. You can do the physical weight loss too if you want to and need to. Raise your hand. My hand's raised. Okay. You don't have to raise your hand. But where am I? Philippians 2. I do have an electronic Bible. I need that. Okay, Philippians 2, verse 13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." So along with us looking at, okay, am I living for self or living for Christ, we're going to look at the areas of our life and say, am I pleasing God or not? Yeah. Am I living for self? Am I living for Christ? Am I pleasing God or not? And the precious promise that we have here is God is working in us. And not only saying, okay, here, this is why what I want you to change in your life. What it's saying here is he's giving us the will and the power to do it, to make those changes. So it's not just, okay, like your New Year's resolution, I'm determined, I'm going to change my actions and my behavior. You're determined, your self-will, your strong will, whatever. It's not that. It's God giving you the power and the desire even to make these changes so that we can live in a manner that pleases him. So living for self or living for Christ, living in a way that's pleasing me or living in a way that's pleasing God, and God giving me the power and the ability even to live in a way that's pleasing to him. So the reality is our life is made up of segments or different aspects of our life. We have different, you know, like we have a marital relationship. We have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with our children. We have work. We have all these segments of our life, but those segments make up the whole of our life. And the whole is affected by the segments. And one segment is affected by another segment. And when I relate to segments of our life, I'm just going to make reference to, remember when Jesus wrote to the churches in Revelation through the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, and he spoke to the churches, and he said to them, you know, he gave them commendation. This is what's going on, you know, like the Ephesians, I see what you're doing, I know your works, but I have this against you. You know, you've lost your first love. Or, you know, so it's like Jesus would see there's areas where you're doing great, but there's other areas where you need to change. You need to make some changes. So when we're examining ourselves, we can say, you know, I'm doing pretty good in this area. And if we only look at the areas where we're doing pretty good, we're not maybe seeing areas where we're not doing so good, where Jesus would say, I have this against you, or this needs to change, or the power and the will is there for you to please God. Tap into that power and that will. There's this area. I see other examples in Scripture where I'm just going to make reference to it. Well, I'll look it up because I need to read it for clarity. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. This is really expounds on particular areas. This is more of the church as a whole when it's making this reference. But 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7 says this, "Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love for us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving." Okay, so Paul is speaking to them about the different aspects or different segments of their church life. He says, you're excelling in all these things. Now I want to encourage you to excel in this area as well. So there's segments of our life and our church life that makes up the whole of us. And so we want to address the segments so that we can affect the whole, that we can become more whole. One part affecting another, I'm just going to make reference to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, where it says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. How's it say it? Treating them as a fellow heir of the grace of God so that your prayers may not be hindered. So here's a segment of your life, your marital relationship. It's going to affect your relationship with God. If you're not treating your wife as a fellow heir of the grace of God, and you're not treating her in an living with her in an understanding way, it's going to hinder your prayers. Yeah. So see how the segments can affect the whole. Your relationship with your wife can can affect the relationship with your husband? Okay, Daryl, Caleb, I need you guys to know. Here's your part. I'm going to have us do, and this is not something that you sit and analyze forever, because then you won't answer right. I need first response. And these with the pencils, yeah, he's got the other guys with the pencils, great. If you need a pencil, raise your hand. Yes, yes. You don't have to write your name on these. Don't write your name on these. The intent is that this be anonymous. But I really do want you to respond to this. And since it's anonymous, no one's going to know who it is. But for us to have a scientifically accurate survey, we need everyone participating. These are areas. I better wait. I don't want to. I'll wait till you get your. I'll wait till you get your survey. Still need a pencil up here, Nathaniel. Okay. These are particular areas of our life, and this may not be all-inclusive. That's why on the very last one I have other, and you can fill in the blank if there's some area that you're being affected one way or the other and I didn't address it. But these make up the segments of our life. Finance, marital, family relationship, physical health, emotional health, your work ethic, integrity, purity, addictions, functioning in the church family, fellowship with God, witness for the Lord, other. The point of this is I would like to get just some feedback from you as to areas that are more difficult, areas where you struggle, because there may be areas that we need to spend some more time with as a church if it's kind of an overwhelming area that's being affected by a majority of the people in our church. When we're talking about finances, it's, you know, we're talking about stewardship, we're talking about, you know, debt, those kinds of challenges, and the intent is just for you to indicate, yeah, you know, I don't struggle very much in that, or I struggle greatly in that, or somewhere in between. And again, don't analyze this. I'm not letting you take it home and pray about it, because, you know, then you'll, I don't know, it'll affect it. You just need to give me your first reaction response. Marital, obviously, your relationship with your wife, your husband. If you're not married, you can put N-A. No, you don't have to do that. Just leave it. Because you're not being you can circle a one on that. Your marital relationship is a little struggle if you're not married. Maybe it's a great struggle if you really want to be married. Oh, anyway, I'll talk myself weird there. Family relationship, you know, relationship with, that can be immediate family, children, or for those of you who are children, mom and dad, or, you know, in-laws, outlaws. Physical health, you know, is that, do you struggle little or do you struggle greatly with that? Emotional health, little struggle or great struggle. Work ethic, it's like, you know, do you know that you're slothful and you want to do something about it? You know, or do you know that you have issues with maybe you're out of balance with work? You are driven, and that's not healthy. You know, it can be a great struggle one way or the other. Integrity would be things like, you know, we're coming up to pay taxes. When you fill out your tax reforms, do you do it with integrity? You know, when it comes to paying your bills or things that are maybe subjective, or do you have integrity? At the workplace, do you sneak home office supplies or tools, or, you know, different things like that. Purity, our walk with the Lord, our walk with our spouse, our thought life, our, you know, what things we're viewing, you know, those kinds of things come in with purity. Addictions, that can be, you know, drug addictions, alcohol addictions, nicotine addictions, these kinds of things that can be affecting you, how one area affects another. You know, our physical condition can be affected greatly by addictions that we are dealing with. functioning in the family, in the church family? Do you have freedom there? Do you struggle there? Do you feel like I don't fit, or like I have a place, or I have a gift, but it's not being used? My gift is in the unemployment line instead of being employed. You know, those kinds of things. Fellowship with God. What's your relationship like with Him and in the Word and in prayer and experiencing His presence and those kinds of things. Witness for the Lord. Do you feel like you're equipped and ready to share the reason for your faith? Or do you struggle there? Do you feel inadequate, or do you feel fear, rejection, you know, those kinds of things? And then other, anything else that, you know, maybe I didn't cover, but, you know, this is an issue of my life and I would like to have it addressed in some format or another. What my intent is with this is, you know, we're going to tally up each area and see, is there an overwhelming? It's not that I'm going to disregard really any of these areas, but if there's some overwhelming areas that need to be addressed, and that's, you know, something that affects us as a congregation, I just want, besides, you know, it's not like God and His Spirit leading isn't enough. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is I would really like your feedback or your input to help establish kind of the direction of teaching that's coming up, for us to square away our gear so we're equipped and ready to do everything as individuals and as a congregation to fulfill the purpose that God has for us. So these are some of the areas that we're going to address and see how the areas affect the whole as we continue to progress ahead. Okay, with that, I'm going to ask Daryl to get the offering baskets and just fold it up and put it away, put it into the basket. And we'll go from there. Yeah, good idea. Thank you, Angela. Throw the pencils in the basket if you borrowed one of the pencils. Or if you want to make a pen or pencil offering for another time, you can donate your own pencil. Just kidding. Lord, You are good and Your mercy endureth forever. People of every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship You for who You are. You are good. Yes, You are, yes, You are, yes, You are. Yes, You are, yes, You are, yes, You are. I don't know why that song stuck in my head. When we started praying this morning, that was, Lord, You are good and Your mercy endures forever.
The song you played at the first Park Rapids service.
Was it really?
On tape, the CD.
Wow. Did you remember that or did you play it recently?
No, I remember that.
Wow. You have an amazing memory. That's good. All right, Father, we're just glad to have the experience that we've had this weekend with our leadership and acknowledging and recognizing and thanking You, Lord, for the leaders that we have that have joined together to be a team, Father, for giving direction and leadership for Praise Fellowship Church. Lord, I know how much You love these people and that You are, Jesus, You are the chief shepherd. And any shepherding that we do is under You and to be by Your direction and Your leadership. Thank You that we can receive that collectively as a people who are gifted in different various ways. And thank You that Your presence is with us and that You give us direction for what lies ahead of us. And we know that You have given us a plan and a purpose and have given us the resources and equipment that we need for that. We just pray that Your will would be done, Lord, in this church, in this congregation, that Your will would be done in the lives of the individuals that make up this church congregation. And we're so thankful, Lord, that You have given us this precious gift from above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.